I'm not here to give my testimony, but I did come to the Lord on January 31st, 1988. And it's been up and down, but mostly up since I've been in America and having good fellowship here. Have we got a slide ready? Today's talk is on Christian meditation. I better record myself. As you can see from the slide, today we're going to talk about Christian meditation. So, deacons, let's clear all the chairs. Come on, Bill, clear all the chairs. Let's get your yoga mats out. I love how I can hide things behind the platform here. Actually, we're not going to use this today, so don't worry. You don't have to see me using a yoga mat. You don't want that picture in your head. We are going to talk about Christian meditation. But at the same time, we're going to talk about what the Word thinks of meditation and also what the world thinks of meditation. Before we start, let's pray. Our God and Holy Father, please help us, Lord, to look into Thy Word for Your teaching on this very important subject of meditation. Help us, Lord, to do right by Thy Word and not by the world. Lord, help us to follow Your ways and not their ways. Lord, thank You so much for Your Son. We did sing that song that Jesus is our friend. And we do thank You, Lord, He is that indeed to every believer. Lord, thank You, He's also our Savior and our Lord. And help us, Lord, to serve Him the best we can. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going to talk on Christian meditation. And hopefully the slides will work. On. Next. Yes. My slides are not as fancy as you saw earlier. They were very good slides we saw by Ben and Sharina. Videos, in fact. But we are going to show you some of the Word of God. The first one is the verse we heard earlier from Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And it was very good because I chose this verse and also Jack chose the verse as part of the opening hymn statement. I love looking at the meaning of words. And the meaning of meditation here from Strong's means a murmuring sound or a musical notation. I did smile there because everyone who knows me knows I don't sing very well. But I can prove that when I meditate, I'm giving a musical notation unto the Lord. And the Lord is hearing that, and the Lord hears us when we study His Word. So let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto Him. And that's a great verse, but also a great prayer for us. Hanging in my house is something I've also got under the platform here, which I'll show you in a second. This is something that hangs in my hallway, and I see every morning, and I see every evening. I see before I go to work, and I see when I come back from work. It helps me, inspires me. It's a small snippet of God's Word that keeps me going. And that verse is, be still and know that I am God. And this is the hanging banner here that I see in my wall every day. And Ada was very happy to hear how much it helps me because she bought it. But be still and know that I am God. So every morning I see this. And it helps me meditate upon the Lord, to be still and know Him, and know that I am God. To be still means to cease, to come away from your busyness. In fact, part of the meaning means to draw towards evening. As many of us who work in the daytime will know, we get to the evening and we can now relax. So we can draw towards evening. And that means to be still, just to put the cares away and to focus upon God. One of the hymns we sang this morning says that our God is greater than the gods, small g. It's very interesting, but the word God here in Psalm 46 is the plural of God. And we all know that we serve a triune God. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. We serve a triune God. And that's the God that we be still and we know. This morning we sung about the Holy Spirit, we sung about the Son, we sung about the Father, and we serve one God. The same Psalm 46, has a verse at the start, which says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. Jack Brooks has been teaching us over the last few weeks on Christian counseling, focusing on depression, anger, and courage, optimism. And I highly recommend, if you've not heard this series of messages, please do so. They're on our website. See me later, or see us later for details. But they're very good messages on these subjects of depression, anger, and courage. We've received great biblical advice, but we have to bear in mind that God is our ultimate refuge. God is our refuge. So when we do go through troubling times, who do we go to? We go to God. We don't go to ourselves because we cannot help ourselves. Bear that in mind as we do the study. I won't do the whole of Psalm 119. Jack actually covered it a few months back, or a few weeks back. But a little snippet there, three verses I've got on the screen. I've got a little bit more in front of me here. But in Psalm 119, 97 to 99, we have two sections I love to read here. 97 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And then 99, for your testimonies are my meditation. Just in that two snippets, we had the law and testimonies. Now, those who know their word will know that Psalm 119 has many references to the word of God in many different words. In front of me, I've got a section from 97 to 105. And it says, law, commandments, testimonies, precepts, word, judgments, and again, words and precepts. And it ends that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word, the Holy Bible, is written for us to read and to live. And we follow his word. So as we meditate upon his word, and as the psalmist says, it is my meditation all the day. Keep that word of God in you. I'm hopeless at memorizing. That's why I've got the Bible on my phone. But have a way of getting to the word. Whether it be having a book on you, having it on your phone, having it on your desktop, or memorizing it if you can. But have the word in you and meditate it all the day. The word meditation in this section does mean reflection, to read the word and to reflect upon it. Actually, one of the meanings is prayer. As we reflect, we are praying. We are talking with God. Talking about meditate upon the word, I'm going to tell you a little story. I'll start with I traveled out to Reno, Nevada a few years back. Ariana had a conference there through her work, and I took the train. I took the train from my mother-in-law. We spent 4 days in the train together, and we had a fantastic time. I got on very well with my mother-in-law, and she's a believer too. I'm very glad of that. But we got to Reno, Nevada, and we went to the hotel room, and we stayed in that hotel room for 2 nights, I believe. Then we traveled to California and back to Reno, Nevada, and stayed 1 night there, I believe. And then we all traveled home together. Well, to save money, we had one hotel room. So Aaron and I and our mother in the same room. So in the morning, to save any hassle or lights or anything like that, I would get up early, get dressed, go down to the foyer of the hotel, buy a coffee, and take my Bible and go and sit down and read the Bible. This is in the hotel in Reno, Nevada, right in the middle of all the slot machines and gambling houses, and it's in the morning, so a lot of the drunks and stuff staggering around. So I'm sitting there with my coffee, the Word of God in my hand, reading it, praying to God, and all these people coming past me, thinking I'm the mad one. Huh? But we know better. Huh? We know better indeed. Huh? And I will lift up Ariana here. Her conference, she ended up, because the conference was in that hotel, she ended up staying in that hotel for like 6 days. And not once did she put a cent into a slot machine. I'm very proud of her for that. Eh? Not once. Eh? We have the temptations of the world around us, but we have to meditate upon the Word. There's a great subject for you. Greet Philologus. Way back after I was saved, probably in the early 2000s, I went to a conference, a New Year conference, in Aberdeen, Scotland. And there's a teacher there called Archie Carew. He was from Tottenham, London. He was a big guy, big black guy. Huh? He was big. Very, had a presence about him, but he loved the Word. Huh? And he loved to teach the Word. And he was teaching at his conference. And he got up, and as conference speakers do, they read the passage first, then they explain it all. That's all he put up. Greet Philologus, from Romans 16. And the reason he put it up was because it means lover of the Word. Philologus, lover of the Word. So that person's name alone tells the whole message. So Paul knew that this man here was a lover of the Word. And as we meditate upon the Word, we fill our minds with the Word. Bear that in mind too. We read the Word, we meditate upon it, we fill our minds with the Word of God, and we're praying with God at the same time. And that's it. That's a wonderful experience to be in. And I've been teaching how the Word declares meditation to be practiced. We're going to move on to how the world declares meditation to be practiced. It gets a little darker here. Huh? As I've been trained to do, I went on to official website, official documentations, and seeing what they say, they officially say about meditation. This website, howtomeditate.org, does have it in it. A simple 10 or 15 minute breathing meditation can help you to overcome your stress and find some inner peace and balance. All sounds good. If you're stressful, we mentioned work days before, we have other situations, many parents here, I'm sure they have a little bit of stress sometimes, maybe. But it's good to stop for 10 to 15 minutes. And I have went to classes, or I have had massage where I've been told how to breathe. And that's good. That's very good to know how to breathe correctly. It's the stress that the world puts on meditation, on this inner peace that I'll be focusing on. Because the inner peace doesn't come from yourself. It comes from God. And we have to remember that focus. Same website says, overcoming negative minds and cultivating constructive thoughts is the purpose of the transforming meditations found in the Buddhist tradition. So this website, defining what meditation is, doesn't hide where it's getting its teachings from. It's not from Christianity, it's from Buddhism. You learn to enjoy the inner peace that comes from meditation. Same thoughts again. From the source of all knowledge, Wikipedia. The term meditation refers to a broad variety of practices. It includes techniques designed to promote relaxation, build internal energy or life force, and develop compassion, love, patience, generosity, and forgiveness. Energy or life force? I love Star Wars. I do. I love the idea of that world and the force, but that's not real. Sorry, I'm really sorry. Huh? it is real, but we have to. It's how we deal with it. Huh? Another website, Art of Living, talking about yoga. Yoga, we joked about the yoga mat, and there again, there's my yoga mat. Actually, it's 8 ounces, but still. I have used it for different exercises and such. But talk about yoga, it says, when we believe when one is in harmony within, the journey through life becomes calmer, happier, and more fulfilled. Again, true words, but what's the focus? Is it on yourself or is it on God? We have to bear that in mind too, huh? I was talking to a workmate, I won't name the person, and I was talking about yoga and talking about this message. She is a believer, and she told me she does holy yoga. I thought, okay, what's holy yoga? So I talked with her, and she was saying how it was about doing exercises as you listen to scripture. I thought, okay, maybe, but I'm not sure about this. And I looked up this website, holyyoga.net, and it says, holy yoga is an experiential worship created to deepen people's connection to Christ. I've also got in my notes, it says, our sole purpose is to facilitate a Christ-honor experience that offers an opportunity to believers and non-believers alike to authentically connect to God through His Word. That caused a red flag on me, huh? To believers and non-believers in the same way? I did wonder about that, huh? I'm just letting you know what's out there, huh? This is a very dangerous one. This is the last of our section. Well, how the world declares meditation to be practiced. I mentioned earlier I've had massage. Massage is good. Massage is very physical, and I know many people who go for massage, eh, to help aches and pains. There was one time I could hardly walk, eh, and I went to massage specialists that we knew, and they worked on my muscles and got to me to the point I could walk again. Eh? I got in hobbling, hardly able to stand. I was able to come out, but that was physical, huh? And that was a physical treatment they did on me. But there is types of massage that are dangerous, and there's one called Reiki. And it's pronounced Reiki, and it's Japanese, and it's made up of two Japanese words: Rai, which is God's wisdom or the higher power, and Ki, which is life force energy. Because I come back to that life force energy again. And this website on Reiki.org says, an unseen life force energy flows through us and is what causes us to be alive. Reiki is actually spiritually guided life force energy. And talking about the training of those who practice it, allows a student to tap into an unlimited supply of life force energy. This is really scary stuff, huh? It really is. Because I had a massage therapist who, a different one from my regular one when I did go, tried to do this on me. Huh? And I was so freaked out in my spirit. Huh? I told her to stop. Huh? I said, I don't believe in this. Huh? There is physical things called auras. I can't explain them, but that's probably because of the energy of our bodies and such. But they tap into this auras and this life force and this energy. And I have heard it is demonic as well. I will go that far and say it is demonic. Eh? We've seen what the Word teaches about meditation. We've seen what the world teaches about meditation. Now we're going to look at practical, how to live our lives for our God through Christian meditation. First of all, in Ephesians, in a small section here, I'll actually read what I've got in front of me from 11 to 13. Ephesians 6, 11 to 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. We live in bodies. We live in physical bodies. We are spiritual, that we have a spirit within us, and we have the Holy Spirit within us too. What we do with that physical body and that spirit is very important, huh? Because we are in a spiritual battle. We're told that by Paul in Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. It is a spiritual battle that we are part of. In Romans 12, Paul talks about our bodies and our spirits. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This morning, Jack was talking about how we don't have animal sacrifices anymore. And I'm pretty sure the deacons like that because we don't have to clean up the blood anymore. That's really good news. But we do have sacrifices indeed. We have the sacrifice of praise that we mentioned this morning. But our bodies are a living sacrifice. How we live for the Lord is a sacrifice unto Him. What we do with them. In Romans 12, 1-2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to hear Tarina later on give us her full testimony. I've been saved. Most of us here have been saved. And if anyone is not saved, I do pray that you ask your parents or your spouse or whoever is with you more about Christ and what He did for you. But those who have been saved have been transformed, have been conformed to God, not to the world. But it's an ongoing process. We're saved, but then we have to go through a whole process of sanctification. We have to be changed from the world to God. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We talked about the world viewpoint of meditation, how it's inner peace, inner energy. There's nothing good within. The word teaches that. There's nothing good within us. Our body and our spirit are God's, because He paid for them with a price. The Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross at Calvary and died in our stead for us. We've been bought. So what we do is not just up to us. It's also up to Him. So I direct you there, if you're making decisions, whether it be small or large, ask God, because He is a part of this too. Whatever you do. Recently, I rejoined a gym, actually the YMCA. I have been once in the last week and went swimming with Ariana. And it was good bodily exercise. And I went in the track afterwards and walked the track many times. And my legs definitely felt it the next day. Absolutely. I need to go back again and then keep going. Because we do have to exercise our bodies. We do have to do that. We have to exercise our minds by meditating upon the Word. But we have to exercise our bodies too. But the word does say, and it's almost funny, but bodily exercise profits a little. A little. Doesn't say nothing. Does say a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Paul has a wonderful summary already written for me in Philippians. And we'll look at it in two sections, this slide and the next slide. In Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The word speaks for itself. As believers, as Christians, we have to meditate upon the word of God. We have to live for him. And we have to watch our walk in the world. There are sections in Romans that talk about the weak believer and the strong believer, and how the strong believer shouldn't do things to weaken the weak believer. That's a whole other message, but it's a very important one too. But we have to have discernment in what we do in the world. We are in the world, but we have to have discernment in what we do. Actually, the word meditate here, and Sharina, who is in front of me, is going to be very interested in this part. The word meditate means take an inventory. Every month, she sends me a report of what she has in stock. Another word for inventory is take stock. She sends me a list of what they have in stock, and I reconcile that with the database. And they do that every month for me. Take an inventory to reason or reckon. So all these things which are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, the word says, to reason or reckon on them, to think about them. The world tells you to empty your mind when you do this meditation, with this music or bodily movements, to empty your mind. That is absolutely wrong. What the word tells you is to fill your mind, to reckon, to reason, to think upon, take stock of all these things. And the end result of that, Philippians 4:9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. We don't find our inner peace. Inner peace is not there. We are creatures of sin. Inner peace is not there indeed, but the God of peace will be with us when we do the right things, when we meditate upon all these things, those things which are trustworthy and praiseworthy. And as we read our word and pray, and something that I will honestly say I need to do more myself, I don't take enough time to stop, reopen the word, to read it, to meditate upon it and to pray about it. I need to do that more often, and I urge you to as well. That's my notes. That's my presentation. But hopefully it has some good thoughts in it. Let's close in prayer. And God and Holy Father, we do thank you for this time together. We do thank you for your word indeed. We do thank you for your Son, the living word. We do thank you we can meditate upon your word, we can meditate upon your Son, we can meditate upon thyself. Help us, Lord, to do so more often as believers. Help us, Lord, to know what the world teaches, but not to follow it. Help us, Lord, to do right by you. Thank you for each other here. In Jesus' name, amen.